Have you ever walked into a store for one specific item, let us say, a pack of batteries, and walked out with a new air fryer, a designer sweater, and a candle that smells like an enchanted forest? Or maybe you have looked at your stock portfolio during a market dip, felt a cold knot of panic in your stomach, and sold everything just to make the bad feeling stop, only to regret it a week later. If you have, do not feel bad. You are not bad with money. You are human. Today, we are diving into a fascinating topic: why we make emotional financial decisions and, more importantly, how we can take back control. To understand spending and investing habits, we have to look at the machinery upstairs. Our brains are evolutionary marvels, but they were built for the savanna, not the stock market or an online checkout page. We have two systems operating in our minds. Behavioral economists often call them System 1 and System 2. System 1 is fast, automatic, and emotional. It is the part of your brain that screams, "I want that now," or "Get away from that danger." It is designed to keep us safe and satisfied. System 2 is the slow, logical, calculating part of your brain. It is the part that does the math, weighs the long-term consequences, and stops you from buying a third car you cannot afford. The problem is that System 2 is lazy. It takes a lot of energy to think logically. When we are tired, stressed, hungry, or overwhelmed, System 2 clocks out, leaving System 1 in charge. And System 1 loves instant gratification. It does not care about your retirement fund. It cares about how that new purchase makes you feel right now. So, what are the specific emotions that hijack our bank accounts? There are three big ones: fear, greed, and social comparison. First, the fear of missing out. This is the cousin of greed. You see your friends making money on a random cryptocurrency or a trending tech stock, and you feel a burning sensation. Why am I being left behind? This leads to buying high, purchasing an asset because the price is already skyrocketing, driven by hype rather than value. Second, the pain of loss. Psychologists have found that the pain of losing money is about twice as intense as the joy of gaining the same amount. This is called loss aversion. When the market drops, we feel physical pain. Our emotional brain tells us to sell to stop the pain, which is the exact opposite of the logical advice to buy low and sell high. Third, retail therapy or mood repair. Sometimes we do not buy things because we need them. We buy them to fix how we feel. Had a fight with a partner? Stressed at work? A purchase provides a temporary dopamine hit. It is a cheap, quick way to feel a sense of control or reward. The problem is that the dopamine fades, but the credit card bill stays. Why do we do this even when we know better? It comes down to our biology. Our ancestors, who lived in environments where food was scarce, had to consume whenever it was available. If you found a berry bush, you ate as much as you could, because tomorrow you might not find anything. Today, that same survival mechanism makes us see a sale sign and feel like we have to act immediately, or we will miss our chance. We are constantly fighting biology. Let us dig deeper into the concept of the scarcity mindset. When we feel that money is tight, our IQ actually drops. Research has shown that financial stress occupies so much mental bandwidth that it leaves us with less cognitive capacity for other tasks. This creates a vicious cycle. The less money you have, the more stressed you are, which makes you more likely to make short-term emotional decisions, which then leads to more financial struggle. It is not about a lack of intelligence. It is about a tax on your mental processing power. Then, there is the issue of social comparison. We are tribal creatures. For most of human history, being kicked out of the tribe meant death. Today, we express our status through our possessions. We look at our neighbors, our colleagues, and the curated lives of people on social media, and we feel an innate need to keep up. When your coworker buys a luxury watch or a new car, your brain interprets that as a threat to your social standing. Your instinct is to match them to regain your status. But in the modern world, matching them often means going into debt. We are spending money we do not have to buy things. We do not need to impress people we do not even like. Knowing why we mess up is the first step. But how do we stop it? You do not need to be a robot, but you do need guardrails, systems that act for you when your emotional brain takes over. First, use the 24-hour rule. This is the simplest, most effective tool for impulse spending. If you see something you want to buy that is not a necessity, force yourself to wait 24 hours. Most of the emotional heat will dissipate by the next day. Usually, when you look at that item the next morning, you will realize you do not actually need it. If the impulse is strong, try extending it to 72 hours or even a full week. You will find that the desire to buy almost always fades as the emotional spike settles down. Second, automate your future self. If you rely on willpower to save money, you will eventually fail. Willpower is a finite resource. By the end of a long, hard day, your willpower is depleted. Instead, automate your savings and investments. Set up a transfer that happens the day your paycheck hits. By moving the money before you even see it, you remove the emotional choice entirely. You cannot spend what you have already hidden from yourself. This is the ultimate hack for financial freedom, because it takes the decision-making process out of the equation. Third, remove the easy triggers. Our modern world is designed to make spending effortless. One-click ordering, saved credit card numbers, and marketing emails are all designed to bypass your logical brain. Unsubscribe from marketing emails that tempt you. Delete your saved card information from your browser. Every time you have to type in your card number, you give your logical brain a chance to catch up and ask, "Do I really need this?" Create friction in your life. If you have to walk to the other room to get your credit card, you might find that the impulse dies before you even stand up. Fourth, define your why. When the market is volatile, or you are feeling the urge to splurge, it helps to have a visual reminder of your long-term goal. Whether it is a house, an early retirement, or a child's education, keep a photo or a note somewhere you see it often. When you feel an emotional urge to spend, look at that goal. Ask yourself, does this purchase get me closer to this goal, or does it push me further away? We often lose sight of our long-term goals because they feel abstract, while the pleasure of a purchase feels concrete and immediate. This technique bridges that gap by making your goal feel more real. Fifth, practice the concept of value-based spending. This does not mean you can never spend money on things you enjoy. It means you should be intentional about it. If you love coffee, spend money on high-quality beans, but stop buying that expensive sweater you will wear once. If you love travel, prioritize your budget for trips, but cut back on dining out every single night. When you align your spending with your values, you stop feeling guilty about your choices. It is only when we spend unconsciously that we start to run into trouble. Sixth, understand the difference between an asset and a liability. An asset puts money in your pocket, while a liability takes money out of your pocket. Too many people think of their car or their home as an investment when, in reality, they are often liabilities that drain cash flow. By reframing how you view your purchases, you can start to think more like an investor and less like a consumer. Every dollar you spend is a seed that could grow into something larger. If you plant it on things that do not add value, you are wasting your potential future growth. Seventh, seek out a financial accountability partner. It is much harder to make a rash decision if you have to explain it to someone else. Share your goals with a trusted friend or family member. When you feel the urge to make a large purchase or pull your money out of the market, call that person's first. Simply explaining your thought process to another human being can often reveal the flaws in your logic. It is easy to lie to yourself, but it is much harder to justify an irrational decision to someone you respect. Eighth, limit your exposure to financial news. We live in an era of constant, high-frequency information. Financial news outlets thrive on fear and sensationalism because that keeps viewers hooked. When you see headlines shouting about a market crash or a new bubble, your System 1 brain goes into overdrive. It is rarely in your best interest to trade frequently. For most people, a long-term, passive investing strategy is the best way to build wealth. By ignoring the daily noise, you protect your emotional state and prevent yourself from making panic-driven moves. Ninth, remember that money is a tool, not a scoreboard. Many people feel that their net worth defines their worth as a person. This leads to intense anxiety and pressure. If you view money simply as a resource to facilitate the life you want to live, you remove the emotional weight. Money should serve you, not the other way around. When you stop chasing the status associated with money, you find that you need much less to be happy. 10th, embrace the power of patience. Compound interest is the 8th wonder of the world, but it requires one thing, time. The best investors in history did not get rich overnight. They stayed consistent, they avoided major mistakes, and they let time do the heavy lifting. When you feel impatient, remind yourself that building wealth is a marathon, not a sprint. If you can simply avoid the major emotional pitfalls, you will already be ahead of the vast majority of people. Let us address the concept of the sunk cost fallacy. This is the tendency to continue an investment or a project simply because you have already invested time, money, or effort into it, even when it is clear that it is no longer a good idea. In finance, this is a killer. Just because you bought a stock at a high price does not mean you have to hold on to it when the fundamentals change. If you were starting today, would you buy it at its current price? If the answer is no, then holding on to it because of your past decision is just letting your ego make your financial choices. Be willing to admit you were wrong and move on. Also, consider the impact of environmental factors on your decision-making. Are you shopping when you are tired? Are you checking your accounts late at night when you are stressed? Studies show that we make significantly worse decisions when we are sleep-deprived. If you are exhausted, your brain's ability to regulate impulses is severely compromised. If you find yourself in a state of high emotional arousal, put the phone down, close the laptop, and walk away. Sleep on it. The world will still be there in the morning. And you will be much better equipped to handle it. Finally, realize that your emotional brain is not the enemy. It is a part of who you are. The goal is not to eliminate emotions, but to build a framework where those emotions have less influence over your financial outcome. By acknowledging your triggers, setting up systems of friction, and focusing on your long-term vision, you can navigate the choppy waters of personal finance with confidence. You are not a victim of your biology. You are the architect of your own financial future. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with this. Be kind to yourself. We live in a world designed by multi-billion dollar companies whose sole goal is to trigger your emotional brain. They are experts at it. They know exactly which buttons to push, which colors to use, and which words to say to make you reach for your wallet. If you slip up, do not spiral into shame. Shame is an emotion too, and it often leads to even more emotional spending as a way to soothe yourself. Analyze what triggered you, tweak your system, and move on. Financial health is not about never feeling an emotion. It is about building a life where your money works for the person you want to be tomorrow. Not just the person you are today. Remember, every small change adds up. You do not need to overhaul your entire life in one day. Start with one small, manageable step. Maybe today you unsubscribe from those shopping newsletters. Maybe tomorrow you set up that automated transfer. These small actions create a snowball effect. Over months and years, they build the foundation of your security. It is about progress, not perfection. You are doing the hard work by just listening to this and thinking about these concepts. Most people never even get this far. Take a breath, look at your budget, and remember, you are in control. You have the tools, you have the knowledge, and you have the power to make better choices every single day. Keep building your future, one smart decision at a time.